Let's turn our attention to Sifim Gimel, to Yud Gimel, Yud Zayin, to continue the sugyas of Bishul, Biklishin, Biklisheni, and specifically with a focus on water. And so we had seen last time a lot of the discussion about Klirishin, Klisheni. Iker Adin, the Gemara says on Daf Mem Bay that Klisheni Einu Mevashel, and at the same time, Tosis raises one exception. The Reim raises a different exception. Magen Avraham highlights Tosis's exception. The Reis exception. The Taz highlights the Reim's exception. Tosis raises the issue of Mechzik Mevashel. That should be Mechzik Mevashel even a Klisheni. That does not apply to Tavlin, and it does not apply to liquids. It applies to core foods, and that's presumably specifically in a kli sheni. The Rain raises the idea of kali habishal, and maybe there are things the Gemara already says raises that possibility with melach. The Rain wants to apply it broadly beyond melach, and the Taz is very open to that approach. The Rain that almost everything is going to be assumed to be kali habishal until proven otherwise. We know that the tavlin are mutter b'klisheni to Mishnah, so it must be tavlin, not kali bishul. And that was a question to why some achronim do accept that approach to the Reim and the Taz, that everything is a suffix, a kali bishul until proven otherwise. And others do not assume that. I said before that we're not going to assume that there's a problem mechzik and mevashel, nor kali bishul. When it comes to liquids. So why is that? That's because of our sugya. That's because the Gemara is clear, and that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that there's no bishul b'mayim, b'kli sheni. So that's these sugyas on Mem Amud Beis. Tolbe klisheni v'tein, you can put oil into klisheni and that's not a problem. Shemen yeshu v'shem bishul, but klisheni ain't a mevashel. Shemen is bishul sensitive. It's not one that takes us back to much earlier in Yoni Bishul. That's already echoes of the Rambam, and we'll come back to that in Mitzvah as well. That there are davar shemen tzar of bishul, there's no chiyuv bishul. So the Gemara had thought about that possibility. Maybe Shemen just doesn't lend itself to bishul at all. So no, Shemen does lend itself to bishul, but told be klisheni v'tein, apparently in a klisheni, it's going to be fine, klisheni in a mevashel. And that brought us to the sugyas as well, on Mem Aleph and Mem Beis Amud Aleph, about the Seifel and Ambati, about water. It seems like in general, perhaps Ambati is an exception. That was a machlokes Rishonim because Ambati is so extra hot. But in general, there's no bishul b'klisheni on water. Now, in Si'ifim, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch stresses in Sifri Gimel. You're allowed to put kitum shalmayim or sharmashkun to klisheni sheifu mayim chalim. There's no bishul, that's very clear. There is no concern of being mevashel water in a klisheni, neither water nor sharmashkim. So it's not, does not even if you hold like the re against the Rashabon the other day in Tosas. So there's this new din drabon of mechzik and mevashel that applies neither to tavlin nor to mashkim. And even if you're worried about kali abishol, but we're not worried about kali abishol in the context of mashkim. Now the Shulchan Aruch if Yudalid raises a different question. Let's say, let's move away from klisheni and potentially even from kli rishon. Let's go back to the most powerful location from a bishul perspective. More powerful than klisheni, even more powerful than kli rishon, is in direct contact with the fire. Now again, and this really sets us up for where we're headed beyond next week, if you're putting things on top of a fire, al gabe ha'esh, so aside from any concern of bishul, even if it's a davar ha'mavushal, in bishul achar bishul, al gabe ha'esh, there are deemed rabbanon in the world of shehi and achazara and so forth. Okay, But leaving that side, let's say it's opposite the fire or alongside the fire, not directly on top, but on the counter next to, or I have a fireplace, I'm going to put something facing the fire. So there are no concerns of the Darabanans, al pi pashas of al gabayish, but you have to figure out, is there a problem of bishul or not? If it's a davra mavushal kvar, okay, in bishul achar bishul. So dealing with a davra shein mavushal, that's mamash bishul. That's even worse than klirishin. That's direct contact, that's not, klirishin is typically, there's bishul, but it's only told us or. The Gemara, again, the Gemara had said, Amen Bezit, every once in a while you have a food that's not mizbashu b'klirishin, it's only mizbashu with direct contact with the fire. That's what the Gemara had said about beef, and that had been the Gemara's maskana about salt. Okay, but in general, most foods will cook in a klirishin shal gabayish as well. But certainly, if you're in direct contact with the fire, that's a bishul bu'ur mamish. So why would that be mutter? So if it's a davar mavushal, so fine, meila. If it's a davar she'enu tzarech bishul, also. Is there any other situation in which that is mutter? So the short answer is yes, sometimes, but there's a machlokas rishonim that you saw that Beis Yosef follows the Ran in unpacking the machlokas rishonim. In what situations? And it has to do with temperature. And that's because the Gemara here, Mem on the Beis, says you're allowed to put near the top, one of the braces near the top of Mem on the Beis, maybe Adam keeps in mind, Menicha Keneged Amadur, Lo Bishul Sheichamu, El Bishul Shetafim Tzinafim. I can put it Keneged Amadur, not in order to get hot, just in order to take out the chill. In other words, to warm it, but not to heat it. Which Rishonim assume means that the Gemara seems to unpack it. That's the question, is it hot, is it chamer, is it potion? Is it going to get to, are we talking about Saletusbo, or are we talking about Pachos Miyad Saletusbo? But as you saw, the Rishonim, based on this Gemara Mem Amin Beis in Perakira, and based on Mem Ches Amin Aleph, in the beginning of Bamatomnim, so the Beis Yosef points out there's a vigorous debate amongst the Rishonim. See, I'm allowed to put it keneged amadura against the fire, against not al-gabe, so no concern with drabanans, but forget about drabanans. How about bishul? No concern with bishul, because it's not bishul she'echamut. So what does that mean? So as you saw, the Beis Yosef opens by calling the Ran points out that Rashi here and the Rambam Perkav Beis both seem to understand Lahakal, that means as long as I don't leave it there until it gets yat teladas bo's mutter, because after all, the definition of bishul for ochlins goes back to the ABCs. Bishul for ochlins, Ram points out beginning parak test, is I'm actually the food is undergoing a chemical change as a result of heat, an endothermic reaction, and that reaction is making the food edible. Okay, so b'machsher ochel achila, bishul amayim is taking up yat teladas bo. That's based on this sugya memory base. So if it's not getting to Yad Saletusbo, so it's not a problem. It's not getting Yad Saletusbo, it's not a problem. So as long as I take it away in time. Then he goes on to quote the Ran attacks, and the Beis Yosef quotes a whole line of Rishonim who disagree with this approach of Rashi and the Rambam, among them Tosis and the Rashba and the Rush. That say, no, it's not a question of whether it's going to get to Yad Saletusbo, it's a question of whether it could get to Yad Saletusbo. I'm not allowed to leave something in a place. It's not just a question, Bishvil Sheyechamu, that's the question, how you understand this language. Lo Bishvil Sheyechamu, Bishvil Shetafik Tzinasin. So that might sound, Bishvil, like it's a question of what my intent is. I'm not allowed to put it there in order to get the atzlas, but that's Baamish Bishop of the Darisa. If I put it there, I left it there long enough, it would get the atzlas. But if I left there for 10 minutes, it would heat up that much. I'll take it away sooner, there won't be a problem. So the Rashi, the Rambam, appear to understand that is mutter. Just make sure to be responsible, take it away in time. But there's a whole series of Rishonim who disagree, Bala Yatosis and the Rush and the Rashba and so forth, who say, no, at least Midrabanan, I'm not allowed to leave it in a place where it could get to Yad Saletusbo. Even if my intent is, I'm just going to put it there to warm up a little bit. I'm not going to leave it there for 20 minutes. I'll just leave it there for 2 minutes. In 2 minutes, it's not getting Yad Saletusbo. Take it out of the fridge. and leave it there for 2-3 minutes, it'll get up to 100 degrees. A warmer pool, a little bit more than room temperature. So most Rishonim disagree with Rashi and the Rambam. Most Rishonim are machmer, at least midrabanan. That's why you have to put together daf mem ches. Most Rishonim understand at least midrabanan. I'm not allowed to leave something in a spot where if I forgot it there, it would eventually get piyat zolarzbo, and that is the psak of the Shulchan Aruch here in Seif Yud Dalet. A lot of put kita shamayim shar mashkim kineged ha'esh lavik tzinasim, as long as it's in a place that eno yachal lehizchamin ba'osa makam, to the point of yad zolarzbo. And the diuk is clear in Seif Yud Dalet, and in Seif Yud Zayin the Shulchan Aruch is explicit, but to put it in a place where it could reach there, that is us. Litan tzone nefila hafshir. Litan tzone nefila hafshir. If I leave there long enough, it's gonna get the yatz lesbo. That is a problem. So that's how we assume lehalacha. This raises the issue, of course, of what do you mean? What do you mean by yatz lesbo? What is yatz lesbo? There are a couple of side points that come up, just to note, and then we'll dive into that core question ourselves. But one side point, just now to put things into reference frame, this is the Ramah here, Seif Yud Dalet. We had discussed Ramah at the very beginning of the Siman. This is where the Ramah talks about the Peiros. And this is where the Mishnah Berurah and the Shaar Tzion on this Ramah, that he raises the question of how you understand the Rambam. Dov Shem Tzara Bishol Kal means it's not even cookable, or it doesn't need cooking. That's a question about fruit. The Ramah here says, in terms of when is it not bishul, he says, oh, but if it's going to get the atzeletas bow, if you leave it there long enough, that's the problem of bishul, even if it's fruit. And again, that relates to the tosis on memches and aleph. And that's the question, is that aligned with or not aligned with the Rambam? Would the Rambam say, if fruits that are made, maybe there are some fruits that people cook, but if I have fruits that people would eat raw, nachal kamoshu chai, a baked apple, that was a question about the baked apple. It will make an impact, but it's not necessary. It's nachal kamoshu chai. So that brings us back to Seif Yud Dalet from that angle. And it's also worth noting, that we already come to this earlier, but here's Seif Yud Gimel, the Taz and Seif Yud Gimel is the one, this is where the Taz discusses the question of ladle. So we had spoken that a week or two ago, worth recognizing that's right over here. But let's talk a little bit about Yad Tzolarzbo. That's a major, major issue. And the central locus for Yad Tzolarzbo in Shas is right here, is the Shabbos Mem Beis, as quoted here. And once you gain to Yad Tzolarzbo, that is bishul. Yad Tzolarzbo is considered heat, that's considered hot al pi halacha, not just posher, not just lukewarm, and that's a problem of bishul. So one major concept that had come up here on Sif Mem, on Daf Mem, basically we had discussed earlier, is the question of kliwish and klisheni. Let's talk a little bit about Yad Tzolarzbo. The question is, what is Yad Tzolarzbo? Something that the Pizchei Tshuva, that was in the Maram Makamos, the Shemir Shabbos sends you that Pizchei Tshuva. Pizchei Tshuva and Yerodei already raised that question because Yad Tzolarzbo is not only a Hilcha Shabbos issue, as we saw with Klirish and Klisheni, so is the case, and even more so perhaps, Yad Tzolarzbo, the definition of Yad Tzolarzbo is something that cuts across many areas of halacha. It's relevant to Bishul Shabbos, it's relevant to Blias, that's why it comes up in Taruvus, and that Pizchei Tshuva is Simon Kufay, I believe it is. It comes up, as we'll see, in a very significant and different way in the world of Yayin. Beginning of Yardei Chilek Beis, when you discuss the halachas of wine. So the two of the major issues in the kashrus of wine is, number one, Yein Am is Aser, Yein Akum. If a Nachri manufactures wine, it's Aser. And then, even if a Jew manufactured wine, but a Nachri handled it, Maga Akum also will make wine Aser. However, if it's Mavushal, so then we're not worried about Maga Akum. Yayin Mavushal is impregnable. Once the wine has been cooked, so then even if a Nachri handles an open bottle of wine, But if it's already mevushal, so then the maga akum will not make it aser. There are, I think, a number of kashrus organizations that will at catered events will only allow yain mevushal. There is plenty of kosher non-mevushal wine, but it'll only remain kosher until you open until you pop the cork. But like any food item that's manufactured and bagged and has hashgacha on it, the hashgacha is valid as long as you keep it closed. Except that most other foods, the concern once you open the bag is just, well, maybe something tray fell in, or maybe what sort of kelim they use. But here, all the kelim are kosher, but if the open bottle of non-mevushal wine handled by a nachri, now you have a maga akum problem. If it's mevushal, so then it's no longer susceptible to maga akum, which in 2 years from now will come back again to Yerdei Chilek Bez. That'll be our focus. If anyone is interested, you can maybe spend some time on Yain Akum, a lot of topics. In addition to Bishul Akum, Tefilas Kelim, and so on and so forth. Bahanogein Yenenu for now. So if the wine is Mavushal, then Maga Akum is not a problem. The wine is not Mavushal, Maga Akum is a problem. What's considered to be Mavushal? Especially if I'm a fine vintner, so I don't want to ruin my wine too much. You may or may not be flash pasteurizing it anyways, but I'm not interested in cooking it more than is necessary. So the assumption is to raising it above Yatzal Ezbo is called Mavushal. What is Yatzal Ezbo? How hot does the wine have to get in order for it to be no longer susceptible to the problem of Maga Akum? So the Shmir Shabbos Kilchas is one place to start. That footnote at the very beginning of the first page. He starts Perek Aleph with Hilchas Bishul, and the first page of the Aleph already mentions his basic definition of Bishul. He mentions Yatzal Ezbo. I think it's Har Gimel. It gives a long Arichas. So 40 degrees Celsius, 45 degrees Celsius, so on and so forth. He quotes from Shlomo Zalman and others that had an interesting raya. Interesting raya from the beginning of Maseches Chulin, Daf Ches, I believe it is. The Gemara is a discussion about your shechting animal with a treif and knife. Shech the animal with a treif and knife, did the animal come treif? Was the animal the meat? I just shecht it. I was rubbing the knife against the neck of the animal as I'm doing the Maaseh Shechita. So do I have to be worried there are bleias if it's a treif knife, clean surface, but treif and knife? Do I have to be worried that there are the bleias from the knife are going to emerge into the meat of the animal? Now the meat of the animal, I made it kosher from a Shechita perspective. I made treif because it was balea that the bacon flavor that was nibbled into the knife. So the Gemara says, well, that should depend on whether Beis HaShechita Tzonin and Beis HaShechita Roseach, or at least one of the factors is going to depend on. Do I assume that at the time of Shechita, is the Beis HaShechita, the spot, that part of the animal, the severed neck, is it hot or is it cold? I'll be dead. So we assume Beis HaShechita Tzonin. We assume that it is not hot enough to create a blia problem. So Shlomo Zalman and others pointed out, well, but that's interesting, because if the machloka is whether it's sonin or roseach, clearly it's close. We paskin it's sonin, presumably means we paskin it's on Yatzal Ezbo, but clearly it's close. If it was 50 degrees away from Yatzal Ezbo, there wouldn't be any shaila. It must be that it's right in the zone. It's okay, so we paskin that it's not Yatzal Ezbo, but it must be right below Yatzal Ezbo. Yatzal Ezbo must not be much above the Beis HaShechita. So they commissioned some experiments. They measured. They went to Schlachtheisen and they with thermometers or thermocouples, and they measured the batei shechita of various animals immediately after, moments after the shechita. I think they found that it was perhaps goats. Or no, I'm sorry, it was ducks or geese that were that had the highest temperature. They clocked in around 113 degrees, 112 degrees. So that's clearly even the highest is still tzonin, because we pass the base of shechita tzonin. The Gemara doesn't differentiate between different minim. So maybe that means 1 degree more already is roseach. Maybe 114 degrees is already roseach. So you does not assume 113, 114. I think there are macher for 120 and on. Probably Shiur Chazal precise, but probably not to the degree. They didn't have they did not have the tools to measure that type of precision. From 120 and on, so it's the same basic concept as Shlomo Zalman. We already have to be worried that maybe it is you're dealing with the possibility of Asa Etzba. But then there are sheets that go much higher. The Rishad, of course, the Rav throws somewhere between 140 and 160. And there are those who assume it's even higher, maybe even 170 into the 170s. There are those who are machmir specifically that it's higher. And what I mean machmir that it's higher, that brings us back to what we talked before. Usually it's a chumra to assume that you are dealing with Yatzal Ezbo, because then you have a problem of Bishol, from a Shabbos perspective, and you have a problem of Bliya. On the other hand, from a Yayin perspective, it's a kula to assume you already reached Yatzal Ezbo, because that means that now already I'm at Mevushal. So in Hilchah Shabbos, in Yisur V'het there, it's a chumra, if I'm a supik, I'm going to be machmir and assume the lower shia. In Hilchah Yayin, I'm going to be machmir and assume the higher shia. So there are at least some hashkacha organizations that will only mark wine as mevushal if it's, I believe, in the 170s, thereabouts. Now, here's what's remarkable. Here's what's remarkable. Rabbi Willig points out, he's given the shia in Yeshiva many times, and I believe he has it written up in Amordechai as well, that the range of opinions about Yad Tzal Ezbo is really, really striking. It's a range of at least 60 degrees from the 110s to the 170s. Like a remarkable range. Such a yisayistic issue and such a range. Here's another way of thinking about it. All the temperatures at which water is liquid, it's a span of 180 degrees in Fahrenheit, from 32 to 212. Out of all the temperatures at which water is liquid, a third of them are mutl machlokas. 60 degrees out of those 180 are mutl machlokas, where Yasa Ezbo, not Yasa Ezbo. Hello, Davaru. Hello, Davaru. It's so striking, so shocking. So Rabbi Willig suggested that maybe part of what's driving the machlokas is really a question of translation. The question, what do you mean by Yad? Yad so let us go. We've been bringing sort of Rais min atzad, Sugi and Chulin, Beis HaShchit, etc. Well, what does Yad so let us go mean? So Rashi says, right here, Memo Beis, at the core, at the root, B'shorash HaDavar, Yad so let us m'sheches la'achorea midaigel shoti kaveh. Your hand is pulled back out of a fear, out of a anxiety that you shouldn't get burnt. Zeu l'shon v'asalda bechila. Quotes a pasuk in Eov. I think this is a hapik for Gamanai. That's what Rashi points out in Eov. It's the only place in all of Tanakh that the Shoresh. The Shoresh Samach Lamadalit appears is Paragvav pasuk. Do I say I left my Eov and behind? Okay. If you can grab it, it'd be great. I have one, then 405 is unlocked. Thank you. So, Rabbi Willig points out, so take a look at a Rashba. So he says, look at a Rashba, he found there's a long Rashba, and then Beis Amin Aleph. Rabbi Willig pointed out one line. The Rashba is talking about the Seifa and the Ambati. Ein adam rochets bechamin mayim chamin shehu misaleid b'hem. A person wouldn't bathe in water that's so hot that Yatzal Ezbo. So Rashba assumes if you're talking about water that a person is actually going to bathe in, it must be its only potion. It must be Ashkayach. Thank you so much. Amazing. So once again, Rabbi Willig sends us to this Rashba in Membeis Amud Aleph. If you have the Masada of Cook edition, it's in the middle of column Reish Vav. Ein of the Roches v'mayim chamashuhu misaleid ben. That sounds like a higher temperature. Whereas you look in the Rav Yah, and the truth is, and he says that line was in the Maram Kamos. The truth is, if you look in Rashi, he points out, this sounds like a lower temperature. How so? Because the question is, what does Yatzal Ezbo mean? Does Yatzal Ezbo mean it's so hot that I couldn't hold on to it? Or so hot that if I was surprised, my hand would, by reflex, jump back? In other words, is it... I'm going to be able to handle much hotter temperatures if I know what to expect it. I know this is really hot. I know it's hot, and I'm going to grab on and try to hold on, so I'm going to have a much higher threshold for that, where I know in advance that it's hot, than when I'm surprised. So what does Yad Soledesbo mean? So Rashi sounds like, and the Rav Yoh even more, that this is Rabbi Willig's Ha'ara, that it's a situation where you're surprised. That's a lower shear. Whereas the Rashba, who says, he talked about going, I'm not going to bathe in water, which I'm going to be misaleid with. That sounds like, even if I know there's water which is too hot to handle, I know I'm going into a hot bath. There's no surprises, but still, there's a point at which is too hot. So the Rashba seems to be assuming the higher sense of Yad Soledes Bo, that it's too hot to handle even when I expect it. Whereas the Rashi, perhaps, and the Rav Yah sound like the lower shear. So Rabbi Willig's suggestion is that's what's really driving the machlokas. What's driving the machlokas, the reason why there's such a wide range of shitos, is because there are two very different ways of understanding what Yad Soledes Bo means. I would add one point, which is Rashi in Daf Mem sends us to Iyov. So if you look in Iyov, Gavi, thank you for bringing it. If you look in Iyov here, Perek Vav Pasuk Yud, see, he owed Nechemasi, the Asalda Bechila lo Yachmo. The Asalda. Rashi says, Ani Eni Motzi lo Dimayon Bemikra. Zulasi Shabloshon Mishnahu. Loshin Yare Vido Eich, Shayad Soledes Ben. Scared, anxious, similar to what Rashi says, Masech HaShabbos. Scared, anxious, again, as we saw in Shabbos, so too in Eo. Scared, anxious doesn't sound like it's too hot to hold, it's painful. It sounds like I'm going to be shocked. I'm going to be surprised. But if you look at the Rishonim here, I think the Machlokas plays itself out. Not only the Diyukim and the Rashba and the Rav Yoh in the Masech HaShabbos and Hilchos Shabbos context, I think if you look through the Rishonim here, the machlokas plays with us. Again, so Rashi on Iyov is consistent with what he wrote in Masech HaShabbos, that it's a question of Yarei V'Do'eg. Salda Bechila, in this context, means I'm frightened. Ibn Ezra is interesting. Ibn Ezra says, Asalda, like a Beitza Saluda. It means, it talks about, Vuhu Mashal Lachozek HaKa'ev. It's talking about the degree of his pain. I'm in such pain, well, how come you're not having Rachmanas on me? Asalda Bechila Lo Yachamo. I'm in such pain, he's not having Rachmanas. Talk about the extent of the pain. That sounds Lachora. Like the higher shear. That sounds like the Rashba. That Yad Soledes Bo means not that I'm surprised, I'm shocked, I drop it in surprise, but it's too hot to hold. And then he quotes, or Ibn Ezra goes on the court of Haigon. Apparently Ibn Ezra had access to a parish of Rav Haigon on Iov. Shepirish va'asalda lashon hagabaha, to lift up. So it's hard to know for sure. Ravigon perhaps means a lower shear. In other words, Yad Soledes Bo means I would snap my hand away. The Ralbag here on Eov, see, he understands me lashon nichva, I'm getting burnt. So getting burnt, that sounds very much like the higher shear. And there's this Ibn Yahya who talks about Nisraf. Nisraf, that sounds like the other sense of burnt. Certainly sounds like the higher shear. And the Malbim also joins them. Eich asalda bechila, eich ikaveh befachad vochil. I'm going to be burnt, a kaviyah, in fear. But he understands, unlike Rashi, who understands that the word asalda itself means fear. The Malbim understands that that's how the Metsudos present it as well. That Chila means fear, but Asalda means I'm going to get burnt from the fear. And they reference the Mitzudas also reference the Lashon of Chazal. So it seems like, again, where Rabbi Willig was pointing out, a machlokes Rashi and the Rav Yah, who appear to understand that Yad Salazmo means my hand will snap back in surprise, at lower shear, versus a Rashi with Dafman Beis, seems to understand means it's too hot to withstand a higher shear. So that appears to, it would appear, so Rashi is consistent in Eov, and the Rav Haigon perhaps also is aligned with that, while the Ibn Ezra, the Ralbag, the Ibn Yahya, the Mitzudos, and the Malbim all seem to understand the higher shear, that it speaks to the magnitude of the pain, as Ibn Ezra said, or it speaks, it means to burn, to get burnt. So that sounds like much more than merely a reflex surprise. That appears to be what's driving this machlokas. Again, I will get already rooted that in the machlokas Rashi and Rav Yah versus Rashba. It appears to also be machlokas Rishonim and Achronim and Eov. And that would explain why Lamasa we grapple with such a broad array of shitos. And just to literally end on a sweet note, and to appreciate the practical nafkamina in what seems like a very abstruse type of discussion. Let's end on a sweet note in Yerideya. In the world of Issur v'Heter, if I know that the kli never went above Yatza, a kli that was used for non-kosher food, if I know it never went above Yatza Lezbo, so all I have to do, if there was no blia, all I have to do is clean the surface, make sure there's no surface residue, and I can move on. I just need to do hadacha. But if the kli was interacting with treif of food that was above Yatza Lezbo, then I'm going to have to actually kasher. So what's called Yatza Lezbo? What's the definition of Yatza Lezbo? As I mentioned before, though, you, I believe, assumes 120 is already, 120 above Israeli Safik Yatza Lezbo. Nafkamina lamaisa, if I remember correctly, chocolate is very heat sensitive, and chocolate, I believe, scorches in the 120s, in the high mid to high 120s, chocolate will scorch. So chocolate manufacturing does not go much above, it goes a little bit above 120 degrees. So were you to have a higher shear of Yatza Lezbo, were you to assume Yatza Lezbo is only 140 and above, then chocolate making equipment would not require hagala. It wouldn't require kashering, they would just require careful surface cleansing. But because we're machmer, the 120 is already Yatza Lezbo, so chocolate manufacturing dips, just gets a nose above, into Safik Yatza Lezbo, gets a nose above 120 degrees. So maybe that means that chocolate making equipment, you want to switch over from a treif to kasher, or from without hashkacha, therefore Safik treif to kasher, or you want to switch over from milchix to pariv, so you actually have to kasher the equipment, which as an aside is complicated, because even a small amount of water can ruin an entire batch of chocolate. So how to kasher chocolate making equipment is not a simple question. Different approaches, but were we to assume that Yatza Lezbo, that doesn't even reach Yatza Lezbo, the whole issue would be irrelevant. We wouldn't have to kasher, we just have to make sure the surface is clean. No need for Hagala. So that's a sweet epilogue to this sugya. Lamaisa, we do assume for 120 above is maybe even a little bit lower Yatza Lezbo. And so the chocolate making does require, the chocolate equipment does require hashkacha, and huadinami in terms of, again, in the context of daf mem and beis, if you dalid, to put something into place, and this is the lamaisa, I'm allowed to put something to warm up if I know that that place won't get the Yatza Lezbo. So let's say it's been Shabbos morning, if the space itself is not Yatza Lezbo, clearly the food is not get Yatza Lezbo. That's basic thermodynamics, right? The food is not going to get higher than the temperature of the air there or the surface. So I want to put food down on a counter next to the raw food. I just want to, let's say, I don't know. I have drinks that I want are very, very chilled, and I want to warm them up. So I'm allowed to I'm allowed to put them, if I touch the surface, I touch my fingers are in the air, I touch the countertop, and the countertop itself is not atzlazbo, and it's been exposed to the heat for the last 12, 15, 18 hours, so obviously food that I put there is not going to yatzlazbo either. How high yatzlazbo? So that's lamaisa, it's not enough to say I can leave my hand on the counter and it's I'm able to withstand it. That's the higher shear, but we're machmir for the lower shear. So if you really are curious and want to be precise, you can train yourselves during the week with go to the chem lab or the physics lab, play around with a thermometer, warm some water, and you can learn what does 120 feel like. Alternatively, you'll have to approximate. But what you're trying to approximate is again the lower, more machmir shear of even not just too hot to withstand, but even hot enough that I would, if I was surprised by the heat, my fingers would snap back. Going forward, Emir Tashem, so the next set of Mar Mokomos are going to wrap up the remaining topics at the end of Simon Shin Yud Ches, plus one issue the Rambam raises that appears in the Magen Avraham, but not in the Shulchan Aruch. So we're going to talk about the remaining topics. The remaining topics are the question in Sifat Hazayin of solids that will melt down to liquid, shuman karish, liquid that's solidified, but when I expose the heat, it's gonna re-liquefy. That's one issue. Another issue, the other major issue in Shulchan Aruch that remains is Sif Yud Ches is a question of hagasa, stirring a pot. The interesting Gemara is an interesting chumra that some Rishonim have about stirring cooked food, which just seems a little counterintuitive. And then the Rambam also raised the issue that Magen Avraham quotes, this is Katan Yud, about cooking non-food items. Up until now, I mentioned at the beginning of when we first got started with Hilchos Bishul, for now our focus is going to be on Bishul of Ochel and Bishul of Mashkin, but we'll come back at the end, in the coming week, to Bishul on non-food items as well. It actually may have some very significant nafkaminas. One is incandescent bulbs, got to think about that. Another is, let's say I take a blech. Let's say I didn't leave the blech, and let's say I'm working with a metal sheet for a blech, and I didn't put the blech on the fire before Shabbos. So I really wish it wasn't planning to. We will get to Shinach Hazel, we'll talk about that some more. But now I need to. There was an open fire, which we didn't think we would need, and now I need it, so I want to put another blech on that open fire. The question is, am I allowed to put a piece of metal on top of fire where it's going to heat up? Is that bishul and non-food items? So there's an intriguing sugya. It's rooted in the sugya in Ayin Dalam and Beis. And then a handful of rabbams, a discussion in the Tosfos, other Rishonim, and then Magen Avraham begins to put the pieces together. Shlomo Zalman the Shmir Shabbos has a long likut, in what's in my edition is footnote Samach. Moshe Feinstein discussed in a couple of places. He responds to the Chazon Ish. So those that's where we're going, Richem, in the coming week. I hand those Mar Mokomos out in a moment, and then beyond the coming week, we're going to move already into Richem into Shiha Chazar into the Din Drabanan about how you handle already cooked food al gabei ha'esh, how you can the halachas of rewarming already cooked food.